You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
There we go, it's Talking Teesdale time once again. I'm Stuart Laundy.
And I'm Jane Woodward.
How are we doing?
I'm all right.
Oh, that's good to know, because watching you try and get up them steps...
What do you mean?
Man,
steps. It's a ladder. It's a ladder, Stuart.
It's a step ladder.
It's more than a step ladder. It's a ladder, a loft ladder.
Watching you try and get yourself up there before. I'm not putting a lift in for you.
I'm not that bad.
I don't know. There was an awful lot of groaning going on.
The amount of biscuits you've fed me.
Ah, well, you see. I treat you too nicely, that's why.
You do.
It's a busy week. It's music all the way this week.
It is.
I mean, guests this week include Connor Selby, who's coming next week, and Stephen Fearing, who's coming next week. And I popped over to see the Affinity Choir, who are a great bunch over at Starforth Community Centre.
Yep.
And then when we come back a bit later on, I was looking down what's coming up, and it's all music.
It is, but different types of music.
Oh, yeah.
So something for everyone.
But music all the same.
Yes.
Anyway, a busy old show, so we'd best crack on.
Yes, we had.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
Musician Connor Selby is only in his mid-20s, but he's already a multi-award-winning blues singer-songwriter. He's just released his third album, which is called The Truth Comes Out Eventually. And better yet, he's coming to the Witham in Barnard Castle on Wednesday, September the 17th. I caught up with Connor for a chat just a couple of days after the release of his new album and found somebody who's pretty excited. So I'm delighted to welcome Connor Selby. Connor, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And thanks for having me.
No worries at all. It's a good day, this one. It's the Monday after your new album was released on the Friday. That must have been a pretty exciting thing.
Yeah, it was. It was a great day. And I was in Norway as well for the first time playing a festival called Blues in Hell. I was in Hell, Norway. But yeah, the festival was great. The album release has gone really well. Got loads of great feedback from people and it's got some good reviews. So yeah, I'm really pleased.
Interesting to note that you were away playing last week. I know plenty of performers who on the release of a new album would have been spending the last 7 days or so surrounded by boxes of CDs, frantically signing them and packaging them and posting them out to people. So sounds like you had a good deal there.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a fair bit of that as well, don't get me wrong. But I'm lucky that I work, you know, working with the label, they handle a lot of that stuff.
Jolly good.
I mean, I have got boxes of CDs around me, but yeah, not as many as I used to when I was independent.
Tell me about the new album then. Am I right in thinking, is this the second album or the third album? I've read various things. I've seen three albums on Apple Music.
Yeah, so it's my third album, but it's my second sort of proper label released album, right, if that makes sense.
Okay. So this one comes 2 years after your sort of self-titled Connor Selby album. So tell us a bit about the music on this album. How does it differ? How has it developed? Is there a theme to it? I had a listen through it just before we started speaking, and it comes across, you strike me as somebody who perhaps wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. I mean, I guess musically it's kind of a development of the last album, in the sense that what I tried to do with the previous one was kind of just paint a picture of all the different styles that I really love and that have influenced me. And that's obviously blues primarily, and then, you know, some jazz-esque elements and folk music and country and western and soul and all these different American roots music styles, basically. And I continue to do that with this album, but I think it's developed in the sense that, yeah, the songwriting is a lot more honest and a lot more mature. And I definitely feel like I, you know, went deeper inside of myself in some of these songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess one of the main kind of thematic things that I tried to tackle, particularly on this record, is feeling that's pervaded through my whole life, really, which is one of not really belonging, not really knowing how to kind of be myself around other people and not feeling comfortable and, yeah, not necessarily understanding what people want from me and expect from me in relationships and, you know, various different aspects of my life. And I suppose identity broadly is kind of the main theme of the new album.
So where does the love of the blues come from?
Well, it started, as it does with a lot of people, with my parents, my dad particularly. He's a big music lover, particularly sort of classic rock, you know, 70s and 60s rock, with some kind of British blues stuff thrown in. And I suppose Eric Clapton was the main catalyst, really, for me discovering all the other stuff. Particularly, there was an album that he put out in the 90s called From the Cradle, which is where he sort of went back and did his versions of, you know, the original blues songs that inspired him. And that was how I discovered people like Muddy Waters and Otis Rush and Lowell Folsom and Eddie Boyd and all these people. And Freddie King and B.B. King, obviously. And yeah, that kind of opened my world up to the blues in general, really. And ever since then, I've just been in love with the music. And I mean, I heard that album when I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And yeah, that was the starting point, really.
Yeah, you've racked up a number of awards from the Blues Awards, Young Artist of the Year, Traditional Blues Artist of the Year. And I was just having a read around before and you know, things like descriptions of your blues guitar prodigy, rising star, young blues player with a big future. How does that sort of thing sit with you? Is it something you take seriously? Does it weigh you down, or do you just have a chuckle at it and think, that's quite nice?
Probably the latter, I guess. I try not to take it too seriously. I mean, obviously, it's nice to be recognised, and I'm very grateful to people who say all those nice things. But yeah, it doesn't affect my sense of self at all, really. I'm still very, very much, you know, what's it called? Imposter syndrome, I guess. That's definitely something that I grapple with.
Yeah. So you're heading out on a fairly extensive UK tour. How's that going to look? What sort of a band are you taking with you?
So for the bulk of the tour, it's my regular touring band or touring lineup, which is obviously myself on guitar and vocals, drums, keys, and bass. But the London show, which is going to be the sort of UK album launch, that's going to have a horn section, and that's the first time I ever would have played with a horn section in the UK. I've done it a few times abroad. I did it in Germany and Austria, but never in the UK. So that's really exciting, being able to do that, because obviously there's a lot of horns and stuff on the album.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great playing with an actual horn section live and playing the songs as close as, you know, as close as they are on the record as possible.
When you write the songs, do you write them with the sort of horn section in mind, or is that something that develops as you're recording the songs?
Yeah, it is something that I have in mind for sure. But all the songs kind of start with me and my acoustic guitar, really. That's kind of the nucleus of the song. And then, you know, for certain songs, you know, there's one song on the album called All Out of Luck and Someone. And, you know, these songs, definitely I could hear horns in my head when I was writing the songs. But yeah, sometimes it's just a nice thing to kind of add on. But yeah, generally it's the way I kind of envisage it. I mean, I'd love to take a horn section on the road all the time, but it's just not feasible, obviously.
I was going to say, it's more a matter of economics, I would think.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the cool thing, I guess, about these songs and about me is that I feel I could still play the songs just with an acoustic guitar, and I can still kind of deliver the songs in a way that is true to them, because that's how they were written in the first place. And everything else is kind of just more elements that are being added. So I don't feel that when I go out with the four piece or do a solo show that I'm necessarily delivering something that's less than the record. It's just different, if that makes sense. I'm lucky that I am able to go out and play, and people, you know, people turn up, and people always generally have a good time, and I get lots of nice comments from people, and you know, that's amazing, and I'm so lucky to be able to do that. And
yeah. Was there ever a plan B? Was there another career path you might have taken?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think I went to university and I studied English literature, but even then, I was kind of intending to do music, and I was doing it at the same time, you know. I'm not really sure what else I could have done. I'm not really good at anything else. So no, probably. It's basically, to put a long story short.
So you're touring for much of the rest of the year. What's next year looking like?
My main kind of aspiration for next year is to start doing a lot more in Europe. I mean, I've done a bit over there, but yeah, nowhere near as much as I'd like to be doing. And every time I go there, it's fantastic.
Well, Conor, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. We wish you all the very best with the album. Like I say, I've had a listen. It's very, very good. We're in for a cracking night when you come up to the Witham in Barnard Castle. And all the best with the tour.
Thank you very much. It's been great to chat. Thanks for having me.
And a reminder that Conor will be taken to the stage at the Witham in Barnard Castle on Wednesday, September the 17th. Full details and tickets are available online at www.thewitham.org.uk. Still to come, we've got a look at what's coming up at the Witham over the next 7 days, and I'll be chatting to Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Fearing. But first, imagine being part of a choir which is accompanied by a full rock band and where fun, friendship and cake are just as important as the singing. Well, if that sounds like your cup of tea, then the Affinity Rock Choir based at Startforth Community Centre could be just the thing. I popped across to find out a little bit more from choir leader Jane O'Byrne West. Jane, just tell me a little bit about the choir.
The choir started in January, I believe. I think it's 2023.
So you've had a couple of good years at this.
Yes, we're moving into our third Christmas.
Excellent. And the thing that caught my eye on your poster was the fact you bill yourselves as Affinity Rock Choir. That gives me an indication of the sort of music that you play.
We are firstly and foremostly a community choir, but we do find that there is a little bit of confusion about what we do as a choir. So there we decided to be more specific about what it is we do. Because we can say we do modern music, but again, that doesn't mean anything. So we now do stuff from the 60s right up to modern day. But we have a live band, therefore it's about as rock as you can get.
I was going to say, I think that's what possibly sets you apart from one or two of the other choirs around Teesdale and a bit further afield, is the live music aspect to it.
Correct. I am not saying there isn't another choir with a live band, but I'm not aware of one in the local area that has a live band. And we're also really lucky that we have a very large male section for the choir as well, which I believe is quite unusual for modern singing nowadays.
I was going to say, most choirs that I've come across are desperately crying out for male singers, so you're well served in that department then.
Yeah, we are, absolutely. It's been growing over the last year or so, and we're really proud of our bass section. It's lovely to have the guys come along.
The last couple of weeks, you've been asking anybody who wants to come along to have a go. But I think you've got fairly healthy numbers all told, haven't you?
Yes, we're kind of in our early 40s when it comes to the numbers.
I wish I was still in my early 40s.
Oh, so do I. I won't say anything about the rest of the choir. So we don't have people coming all the way through the year because we rehearse for concerts and gigs, and some of our pieces, I'm not saying they're complicated, but they take quite a lot of work. So we like to be able to open our doors twice a year to people so they can start afresh with the music we're doing. So when we do the next Christmas gig, for instance, we're all starting from scratch and we all know what we're doing.
And what sort of singers do you get? Are you asking for people to be sort of trained or who can read music or who've got experience? Or is it basically anybody who fancies having a go at a tune?
I think if we were asking only for people who were trained or could read music, we would probably have about four in the choir. And that would probably include me. So we're a community choir. Our basis is for fun, friendship, cake, tea. You know, we have a really good laugh. We like to sing, for singing is very important. But our friendship and the friendship groups and the fact that they can come along and do something in a group of people, that's what's important. We want a willingness to somebody who loves music, somebody who loves singing. If they love singing in the shower, if they love singing making a cup of tea, you know, if they used to love singing but somebody at school told them they were rubbish and they never sang since, which I've had stories of. You know, somebody's turned up and said, I haven't sang since I was 10 because I was told I was rubbish. And there's so many people with kind of stories like that. And we want you to come along and just forget about what anybody's ever said to you about your voice and just come and enjoy yourselves.
And what sort of venues, what sort of places do you play? Where can people sort of catch you?
We generally do kind of a summer gig at the Witham, and then usually the rest of our concerts are for charities. So we'll have one coming up for Cancer Research on the 15th of November in Cotherston at the Village Hall there. So that's what we try to do. We're not for profit. We're not here to make money. We redistribute our money. We do a few Christmas gigs. So we often do the Bowes Museum, but we do have our very special Christmas concert at the church in Startforth, which we don't have a date for yet, but that'll be as near to Christmas as we can make it. It's really special.
So if anybody's interested, can they just pop along? Do they need to get in touch?
I would say try and get in touch if you can, but if they are desperate and they can't find a different way, do pop along. You know, I wouldn't turn somebody away.
I'd love the idea of you doing Slade at the Bowes Museum at Christmas.
Somebody did mention the other day about us doing Slade, and I gave them a really hard stare, only because I used to sing in the clubs, and we always used to do Slade. I did it for years and years and years. We have some alternative songs for Christmas. We're not really a group that enjoy singing Christmas songs, so we like to do. So tonight, for instance, we're going to be learning Hazy Shade of Winter. That's going to be one of our Christmas songs.
And it was certainly great fun when I popped across there to meet all the guys in the choir. My thanks to Jane. If you'd like to find out more, search for Affinity Community Rock Choir on Facebook or email affinitychoirbc@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
Right, Jane's back, and it's a very busy week, so we're going to have to rattle through this, because yes, there's loads on, isn't there? Starting on Saturday with last week's guest.
Josh Jones.
Funny lad.
Yes. I haven't won the lottery, so here's another tour show.
Absolutely.
Snappy title.
Exactly. If you want to know anything more about Josh Jones and his show, have a listen to last week's podcast.
Yep, that's Saturday the 13th at 8 o'clock.
Then we move swiftly on to Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah, Connor Selby and his band.
Yeah, and you'll know all about Connor Selby because we've just had a chat with him. Excellent, excellent young guitarist. Have a listen to his stuff. If you couldn't come on Wednesday, have a listen to his stuff on one of the streaming services. It's brilliant.
He reminds me of Harry Connick Jr. Do you remember Harry
Connick
Jr.? He reminds me of him.
Bit of a Harry Connick Jr. fan, were you?
Yes, oh. I was, yes. Still am, yes.
Right, say no more. Then Thursday the 18th. We're celebrating George Michael. Were you a fan of George Michael back in the day?
Not as much. I quite liked Wham.
You're too young for Wham.
I'm not too young. 80s, no.
82 was Wham.
Yeah.
You were like 5.
Well, yeah.
Wham was more my era, but I was never into Wham, I'll be perfectly honest. George Michael, I can take a leave on it. Anyway,
yes,
lots of people were. And
the original bass player from Wham is part of the band.
Oh, right.
The George Michael tribute.
That's it. Who's coming? What's the chap's name?
Steve Mitchell.
That's it. He's been before, I think.
He has.
Yeah.
He looks like George Michael and he sounds exactly like him.
Right.
So that's Thursday the 18th at 7:30.
And then moving swiftly on to Friday the 19th.
We have a choir, Voices of Hope.
They don't sound like a rock choir, not like the Affinity
rock choir. It's a chamber choir. About 20 of them. I think they're Newcastle-based. They won BBC Choir of the Year. So they're professional choir.
This sounds like a quality evening.
Yes, it will be. It will be. And there is going to be the composer's going to be there. There's going to be a premiere of a piece of music that he's written. So
sounds
along
interesting.
To that, Friday the 19th.
And then Saturday the 20th, we've got a double header.
We have.
I know exactly where you'll be. You'll be downstairs.
I will.
With the Ever Ready band.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Won't you?
Yes, I will. Brass band.
Comparing notes with the trombonist of the Ever Ready band.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be watching.
Making sure he's doing it right.
Make sure there's no bum notes. Quite right, yeah.
Meanwhile, upstairs we've got Stephen Fearing.
We have.
Which should be, again, a good night.
Indie folk rock from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be playing songs from his new album, I think, called The Empathist.
Exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not it. There's music on Sunday as well.
There is. We've got an afternoon concert with Royal Northern Symphonia. Mozart's Quintet.
Oh, very good. Don't mind a bit of Mozart.
Yeah, I like Mozart. So 2 o'clock, Sunday the 21st.
Jolly good. That's a lot of music.
A lot of music,
yes. Where can we find out more?
By going online.
To?
www.thewitham.org.uk.
And when we want to buy tickets, we can call?
On 01833 631 107.
Excellent.
Hope we have a good weekend.
What a well-oiled machine we are.
Exactly. We are. We've rehearsed this one really well.
Absolutely. Hours. We put hours into this one.
We have, yeah.
Excellent. Right, we'll see you next week.
See you later. Bye.
Hi, I'm the one and only Josh, the man, the myth, the legend, and you are listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
So as we mentioned, Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Fearing is heading over to the Witham on Saturday, September the 20th. Stephen's been a recording and touring musician for more than 40 years and is no stranger to the UK. Right, so last but by no means least on this week's podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Fearing. Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Stuart.
No problem. Have you had your breakfast yet?
No, I've had a cup of tea and that's it.
I should explain that while I'm sat in Barnard Castle, Stephen is sat in Vancouver Island.
Yeah, in Victoria.
Which is like 8-hour time difference away. So just as I'm thinking about what I might have for dinner, you're obviously thinking about what you might have for breakfast.
Yeah, and take the dog for a walk.
But enough of such things. We're chatting because you're heading over this way in next week.
Yeah, I know. It's coming real soon. I'm starting to think about things for, you know, adapters for plugs and stuff like that. All the little things that you remember when you're on the plane and think, oh, no.
I'm guessing over the years that you've done a touring about all over, not just Europe, but all over the world. What's the touring experience like these days?
It's challenging. I love touring. I keep coming back to the UK, despite sort of diminishing returns financially, because I just love it. I mean, I think as a Canadian musician, you better like touring because our country is so huge and the only way to make a living is to get in a car or fly. And so you get a taste for it. But it's definitely more challenging these days. Airfares have gone up, hotels have gone up. Car rentals have gone up, but ticket prices have not. So, yeah, you have to sort of figure out a way to make it work.
You released a new album earlier on this year called The Empathist.
Yes.
And is it still worth putting albums out there? I mean, we live in a streaming age now. Why not just put out a song a month for a year or something like that?
Well, partly because I like it. I think that would Bob be the answer to a lot of your questions, including, you know, is it feasible to tour? I mean, I've been lucky enough to do this for my everyday work job since I was about 18, and I really love it. That's why I do it. And similarly, making records is like that. But also, I do have an older demographic as my audience, and people are still buying albums. And so it's not as worth it in terms of selling outside of the stage. Offstage sales, definitely. Having an album is still a thing, which is great because I like making them. Streaming, obviously, there's no money in it at all. So you do both. You make an album, you stream it. It's getting more challenging to make a record. So I did something this time that I'd never done before, which is crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting thing to do because it's a little daunting when you sort of fly the flag. If people don't respond, what does that mean? Yeah. Is your career officially over? But people responded. I had set up the campaign to be 3 months long, and it was basically I hit the mark in about 3 weeks.
That's good.
So you sort of realize, okay, there's still a real interest in this album format. It's a lot more niche than it was, but my audience is a lot more niche. So It works.
That's good. Now, when you come over to see us next week, you will be accompanied by the Sentimentals.
Yes.
Who, am I right in thinking they're Danish?
Yeah, they're Danish. So they're a Danish Americana, which is even more bizarre.
So how does a singer-songwriter from the west coast of Canada hook up with a bunch of Danish musicians?
Do you know Jonathan Bird? He's a songwriter from North Carolina.
Okay.
And he and I crossed paths years and years ago playing a festival down in Oregon. And so I follow him on Instagram, and he was a serious touring musician in terms of a lot of solo guys do this where one week they're over in Europe and the next week they're in North America and then they go back and they play, you know, Scandinavia and whatnot. And I was, this is pre-COVID. I was following his Instagram travels and I just direct messaged him because he was in Scandinavia and I was feeling a little jealous because I'd never been and said, who's your contact? And lo and behold, he responded immediately, which doesn't happen very often in the music industry, and shared his contact, which is a guy named MC Hansen. So I reached out to MC, said, I'd love to come. He said, we'd love to have you. And what the Sentimentals were doing at the time was basically bringing North American singer-songwriters loosely in the Americana world. We'll be your band. We'll learn your tunes. We'll put together a tour. So I found myself on a plane, suddenly heading towards Denmark with 10 shows. And I'd never even met the guys. And we had a great, really great connection. And I thought, this is something I don't ever want to lose. So through COVID, we managed to stay in touch. And I bring them to Canada when I can. But the advantage of having a band on that side of the pond is huge. It was such a positive experience, and touring in Denmark was such a positive experience that we all said, okay, let's do this again and again and again. And since then, I mean, that was way back in 2018. So we've done a lot of work together now, and they've come to Canada. We've done shows. We headlined Shrewsbury one year at the Shrewsbury Folk Fest. And so we've got a lot of connection, and it's turned into something really great.
When you're not playing with the Sentimentals, are you a solo artist? Is it you and your guitar and off you go?
Yeah. And I also work in a band called Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, which is a Canadian roots rock band. So you got to have a number of irons in the fire. Primarily, I'm a solo singer-songwriter. That's sort of how I've made my living since I started, and still do a lot of work that way. But more and more, you know, there's a sense that people want to hear a band, and that's fine because I love working in a band. It's not always financially feasible. You know, I'm a big Richard Thompson fan, and always watch how Richard goes out with a band, and then 6 months later, he goes out again solo. And the solo tour is the one that you generally make a living from. The band tour gives you a chance to bring the music into a little bit more 3D. The arrangements can be fuller. The dynamics can be bigger. It's really hard to play a driving song with just you and a guitar and make it have the same impact.
You mentioned you've been doing this since you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Do you ever see yourself stopping?
I guess it'll happen eventually. I see physical limitations. I'm 62 now, so I've started to notice, you know, things get a little stiff. The plane rides do me right in. So I tend to fly in, like I'll be flying into England for this tour. The first show's on the 19th. I arrive on the 17th, and I'll spend the 17th basically trying to stay awake and you know, have a good sleep, and then the 18th getting the gear together. And so I give myself a lot more room. I used to fly in the day of the first show. I can't do that anymore. So it's really about kind of mitigating the just getting older, but the charge that you get from playing is huge, and still something that I really wouldn't want to let go of. for the foreseeable future.
Well, hopefully by the 20th, you'll be suitably refreshed and raring to go.
Oh, yes.
When you come and see us. Stephen, thanks very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. And I'm really looking forward to seeing your town. It'll be my first time. I'll bring my drone, and I can be one of the really irritating people annoying the castle customers.
We look forward to it.
See ya. Thanks, Stuart.
And a quick reminder to check the Witham website, www.thewitham.org.uk, for tickets to Stephen's show on Saturday, September the 20th. And to finish with this week, we'll play out with a track from Stephen's new album. The album's called The Empathist, and this is Best Road I've Known.
Deeper than the stars, falling in the sea, I tumbled hard, you fell for me. A cloud of rain, your grandma's stone, diamond light shining on the best road I've known. I got a heart-shaped scar from a life before, and a horseshoe sign near the my front door. A lucky guy from a broken ball. You and me rolling on the best road.
For listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share, and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.